What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Q&A show for February 17th. It'll probably go up February 18th. I'm filming this at pretty much right on midnight, but I want to thank you guys I'm overwhelmed by all the support of Fightful Select, especially this week. We broke three major stories this week. The Cody Rhodes leaving AEW, heading to WWE likely thing, the Stone Cold Steve Austin return, Buddy Murphy to AEW. Then last week we had Keith Lee to AEW. We had the speculation of Jay White. Guys, thank you all so much. Really, it means the world to me. For those of you who don't know how our Q&A shows work, I do a Q&A and I answer every question that I have an answer to. That does not mean your question was wasted if it doesn't get asked. It means that I'm going to use it to craft what I ask about. So let's go ahead and get into it. And obviously there's going to be a lot of Cody stuff. A whole lot. Michael Branson says, can you find out how much input or control Vince had in the ratings for 2K22? He is not involved in that. He has no idea what those even mean. No clue whatsoever. Doesn't care about it. P-Secker Bus says, is Triple H involved behind the scenes at all right now, or is he still recovering? He hasn't been backstage at NXT for a very long time. We have a couple of questions that kind of go together. Matt says, on the Listen to Your Boy, you alluded to more AEW debuts on the horizon. Was this in reference to Buddy, or are there more to expect? And Drew says, you and someone were discussing on Twitter another free agent signing or thought to be signing with AEW. When do you think the news will be released? Over the next couple weeks, I'll probably have that out, I would imagine. Josh says, please give us an update on where Roxy currently stands contractually. Last I heard, she had a bit of a longer-term tryout. I don't know if she's been signed full-time, but she's been around the Performance Center, yes. Joe says, I'm of the full mind that Brock screws Roman in his title match and Goldberg becomes the champion going into Mania. What do you think? I think that would be a miserable idea. I think that would ruin a lot of goodwill with the fan base. I think that's a bad, bad idea. I do not think they should do that. I think that's a terrible idea. Trevor says, will Rollins go polka dots or Stardust theme gear for his first feud with Cody? I think Stardust theme. I think he would look good in gold, man. Greg says, who do you think is the Austin-level name WWE is trying to get for Mania? This is according to Dave Meltzer. I don't know, because the only name that I would view as Austin-level is The Rock. Maybe Hulk Hogan, but quite frankly, if you're saying Austin-level in this climate, they should be wrestling, and Hogan isn't wrestling whatsoever. Caden says, any news on matches in place for WrestleMania or matches they are looking to have? I mean, obviously, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar is one of them. For those asking, yes, AJ Styles and Edge has been pitched, but a lot of things have been pitched. I don't know if that means they're actually happening. Charlotte, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Kevin Owens, Steve Austin have all been discussed, but again, it ain't over till it's over, my friends. Todd says, is John Cena appearing at this year's WrestleMania? I haven't heard of anything about him returning. Connor says, are we getting Asuka back before Mania, like the Raw or SmackDown after Mania? I mean, I think it was, I can't remember who it was that reported, maybe PW Insider, that they hoped that she would be back this month, but I haven't heard anything on that front since then. Not a bit. Any news on the Briscoes to AEW? There has been nothing on that front for weeks, well over a month. I haven't heard a peep about them popping up. Haven't heard of any plans in order. They are working the ROH Supercard of Honor show as the tag team champions. But yeah, that is, it's pretty quiet on that front. Any news on where NXT Stand and Deliver will take place? Last I heard, it was the Performance Center, and it wasn't supposed to be any different than that, than the CWC, as they call it. That was the plan for all of them moving forward, but I don't know if that's still the case. A lot of things can change. Joe Farrow says, have you heard anything on Swerve Strickland and his whereabouts? Yes, he worked for New Japan tonight, and there are there's a lot of interest in him from companies, but he did pop up at New Japan tonight. He's free to go now. By the way, guys, I'm going to try to save the Cody stuff for the end of the show. I know there's plenty of that. Jake Schwall said, now that we are a couple weeks removed, are there any backstage reaction to the backstage promo that Ronda cut after the Rumble and her first Raw promo? No, not really. There's a lot of an apathetic attitude based on a lot of people that I talk to. They're not really there to tear down somebody else's work like that. I mean, I know that a lot of people think a lot of things about Ronda Rousey and her promos. It's just most people there don't care about her promo, at least that I speak to. Again, when I say that, it's always an aggregate of those that I speak with. John says, when do you think AEW will have MJF go after the AEW title? I think late this year. I mean, they've had him go after it before. Cameron says, do you know if AEW have a talent relations app like WWE do? And do people have to delete it when they are released? Well, when WWE releases people, it's just they lose access to it. They no longer get that stuff. So if they do, that's just the way it is. They've had their access revoked. No difference in like a key card where you would work. Sean says, any update or contract notes on Finn Balor? No, if I have contract notes, I'm going to report them. Update, he hasn't been factored into Raw the last couple weeks. And sad but true, that's really the extent of what I've got. Ryan asks for news on a potential Briscoe's FTR match. I don't expect it to happen in AEW, maybe in ROH if it were to happen. Bump Boy says, do you have any clue if Switchblade, Jay White, and Tama Tonga and Tongaloa are going to be involved in the Elite Paragon feud? I think they should. I think that's an important part of Bullet Club that you need to have involved. I think you should also probably have Balor or Styles and Gallows and Anderson involved too. The Bullet Club fracture is a fascinating story to tell, but I don't think it's going to happen like that, unfortunately. Michael says, what do you think will be the long-term effect on members of the Factory and Nightmare Family wrestlers? I mean, I think we already weren't seeing a lot of them on Rampage and Dynamite, except in enhancement roles. I think it'll pretty much stay the same unless one of them gets the it factor. There have been plenty of people involved in that stable. Both of the Nightmare Family and the Factory have needed some more development, and it's kind of the gimmick there. Andy says, do you know what plans AEW had for Brandi and Paige Van Zandt? From what I understand, they were supposed to have a match, but that ain't happening. Kevin Cleedy says, over under, Kenny Omega returns at Revolution. I'm putting it at a 50-50 chance because that's what I would do if I were them. Hannah says, when is the next wave of contracts up? Any word on who is in and who is out? May is when a bunch of AEW deals are up, and in 2024, a whole mess of contracts are up in WWE. Ryan asked if there's been a women's mid-card title being introduced in WWE at any point. No, that was the women's tag team titles, and they've completely fumbled that. Zach Downing says, do you envision Rock being at a big PLE after his little tweet nugget yesterday? I would imagine WWE is going to try really, really hard to work that in over the next year and a half. They're going to make a big play for that. There's no way they're not. Taylor says, any updates on Bayley returning to the ring? There were some people that I was talking to that were like really hopeful she would pop up at the end of last year, but that just wasn't realistic. And haven't heard anything since then, but she's back doing media appearances for WWE. Reggie says, is it difficult for a wrestler to add a new move? Do they need to get approval? I can't recall the last move Charlotte added to her set. Charlotte does new stuff every so often. You just got to watch out for it. In WWE, sometimes you do have to. Sometimes you got to run it by an agent. In AEW, you don't. Oliver says, any idea why NXT UK has gone back to no fan shows? The Omicron strain, as Stephen Bradley posts in a reply, and the plans are to resume with fans very soon. Richie says, curious if you have any updates on Kip Sabian and his injury. He's there at the shows very frequently. He's just not being used. I mean, he has been out of action for a very long time. And I mean, the fact that he did a bidding of adieu, like, gosh, 11 months ago and hasn't wrestled since. Man, I wonder what's up with that injury. Like, I wonder how that's going. I haven't heard anything of late about it, but he has been around. He's been around for a long time, though, like months and months and months. Ian says, Wondered what the likelihood is that JR re-signs with AEW, or is there a chance of a WWE return? I don't think he's going back to WWE. I think he'll stick with AEW. I think he'll probably have a bit of a different deal, though, in my estimation. Zachary says, do you think Josh Alexander signs back with Impact? If they offer him good money, I'd say yes. I thought this may have been like a carefully crafted work, but Josh Alexander doesn't seem like the kind of guy to me that would take bookings and then cancel them because of visa stuff if he planned on staying. Lee says, EC3 and Adam Scherz control your narrative, has a nationwide distribution deal according to their message. Any clue where? How well do you think they do? It's going to be a niche audience. It's definitely going to be. I enjoy the shows. They are so different, but I like it a lot. I like Lucha Underground a lot. It was different. This is way different than that. Their deal is with Pod TV, as far as I know. It's a bit of a new service, but that's the last that I had heard of it. Thammy says, any updates on the AEW console game? Feel like there hasn't been much news for a while. Stuff in Japan like that is kept a lot tighter knit, closer to the vest, but there's no publisher announced yet. So once there's a publisher announced, there's going to be more details to kind of filter out on that. But I'm working on getting some more information. I know that they've got a pretty interesting career mode planned for that. Steven says, what is the current percent chance of Stone Cold wrestling at Mania? I'd say 50-50. Steven Turner says, any idea what Tegan Knox's situation is? I mean, her non-compete was just up yesterday, so she hasn't even had time to pop up anywhere. Do I anticipate any NXT call-ups post-Mania? Yes, I do. I think a lot of the people stuck in limbo will be called up. I think LA Knight's going to get called up. I think Dakota Kai's getting called up. I'm surprised Dakota was not called up a long time ago. Nick Winstead asks about Asuka's current standing backstage. Her name was thrown around for Royal Rumble and then quickly shot down. I just don't know how realistic it was, but it was brought up. Danny says, is Bray likely to return after Mania? And we have people asking, what's up with Bray? Haven't heard anything about him lately. First off, I got to say, guys, quit sending me this quote-unquote Bray Wyatt YouTube that is not his. It's fan stuff that somebody's putting together, and they do a great job, but it ain't his. It's not his. I don't believe he's going to return to WWE after Mania. I think they should make an offer to bring him in. They need to reload their roster. And I think that, honestly, I think if they brought in Braun and Bray and Cody, that is a couple or three top main event guys that you can have to add to your roster. I can't believe they let those two go. I'm shocked that they did it. Sam Butler said, not sure if you're allowed to answer this, but I've always been curious how journalists gather trustworthy sources. Is it relationship building? Do people reach out to you? Curious what the process is like. It's both. I've reached out to people. People reach out to me. I mean, a lot of it early on was just people knowing I'm a normal person. And I won't say anything online that I wouldn't say directly to them or to their face or anything like that. I try not to get personal. I don't dig into people's personal lives about their illnesses or their children or their families or their relationships, who they're in bed with, who they're not in bed with. I don't give a fuck about that stuff. And that's helped out quite a bit. I mean, some of these people I've done seminars with, or I've trained with, or something like that. And that helps out a lot because they know that I give a shit enough to go do that type of thing. That stuff helped out a lot early on. And reporting consistently accurate stuff has been the biggest part since then. I mean, and anybody that I talk to knows if there's something I got to report about them, I got to do it. They know the drill. They know if it's positive, negative, indifferent, I got to do my job, and I'll be as fair to everybody as possible, whether I like them or I don't like them, and whether they like me or they don't like me. And that has helped out an awful lot. I've had people that did not like me reach out and say, hey, can you verify this news and run it? I would appreciate that. And that's the business. And I'm trying to normalize relationships between media and the company and the wrestlers and representation and managers and all that stuff. I want it to be more normal. That way it's not so frowned upon because I want this to be a normal thing, and I want to keep doing this for as long as I live, because I really, really love doing it. I love learning about wrestling. But when you prove yourself to be trustworthy in what you report, you are more likely to develop trustworthy sources. If you just run any piece of arbitrary gossip that you hear, or you make up stuff, people will know. Especially the people that matter when you're getting these stories. They will know. The audience will know. Then the wrestlers that they're about will know, because they'll be like, that's not the way that that happened. Never make up stuff. It's not worth it. Zach says, any word on debuts at Revolution? I don't know about Revolution, but probably within 7 days before or after that, I would say so. And Franklin says, is Jay White going to make an appearance at Revolution? I haven't heard he was, but I wouldn't eliminate it from possibility. KI says, do you think Alexa Bliss will have a match at Mania? Yes, I do. I do expect her to be booked strong at Elimination Chamber, or really badly and feel like she needs Lily. Jordy says, any information about Carlos Cabrera's termination? Somebody told me it was like an HR thing, but I don't know exactly how deep that goes. David says, does Fightful have a specific process for reporting on an interview done in another language? Does Fightful have a way to get a confirmed translation, Spanish to English, Japanese to English, before moving forward with the story? Yes, largely. I know there was an issue with the Shida story recently, but Shida did not raise a concern about the translation of that interview. And she speaks good enough English to where she would if she had that concern. Moving forward, that will always be the case. We'll always get it verified by somebody who is bilingual. But for Spanish to English, yes, we have three different people that we can run that by. French to English, we've got two or three different people that we run that by. And there's not usually a lot else. We might get the occasional interview in Portuguese with like somebody like a Brazilian MMA fighter talking about pro wrestling. But we always have people that do that. That was one exception that obviously we'll work better on as we always look to improve. But for like French, Spanish, we never use Google Translate on that. Never do it. Anakin says, why do you think people send far less SmackDown super chats on Friday than Raw related ones on Monday? Is Raw more popular than SmackDown, or is it the time slot? It's the time slot. I think that Raw is 3 hours, so there is more content there and a wider array for people to either be excited or outraged about. Joe says, with the appearance of Lana and the Iconics in the recent 2K22 gameplay, have you heard anything about Bray being removed? I know when 2K re-uploaded the video, mention of Keith Lee was removed from the video. From what I understand, if they're popping up in like AEW, they're probably going to be removed from the game. However, there have been several released wrestlers that are remaining in the game. Killer Cross is among them. I've got a little bit more on that coming to Fightful Select pretty soon. Nicholas says, hey, Sean, my question is, what was the first wrestling show you attended, and do you remember what the main event was? Well, I grew up, I didn't have a lot of money, quite frankly. I grew up kind of poor, and I didn't get to go to a lot of wrestling shows. So the first wrestling show I was ever on, I actually wrestled on. And it was a hybrid show with kickboxing and MMA. And actually, it was a sparring exhibition with a future Bellator fighter and another student that ended up being the main event of that. If you don't count that, and you mean just WWE, I went to the January 28, 2011 WWE SmackDown, and looking back, I'm so glad I did. It was January 29th, 2010 is when it was. I keep on getting confused, and I thought that I went to that 2011 show, but it was the 2010 show that I went to. I feel like Shane Helms and Jericho got into it that night, too, and that's when Helms got fired a while after that, but that's neither here nor there. I just pulled up the card. Listen to this card. Triple H versus CM Punk. Drew McIntyre versus John Morrison. No DQ match for the Intercontinental title. Rey Mysterio versus Shawn Michaels in a 16-minute match. The main event in the dark match was DX and The Undertaker against Chris Jericho and the Straight Edge Society, CM Punk, and Gallows. Also included in there was JTG and Tyler Rex. JTG, man, I always thought that that guy was so underrated, and still do. And that was also the night of the infamous Piggy James segment. But I got to watch a lot of really, really good people wrestle, and that was very cool to me. I'm pretty sure I also went to that one in 2011, too. It just wasn't nearly as good. Like, we're talking like Big Show and Heath Slater on the card, and it just wasn't as good. JJ says, hey, Sean, when WWE mentioned that Mustafa Ali was valuable to the company, what does that entail? Have a nice day. I think they mean he's just valuable and they don't want him to be valuable elsewhere, personally. That's what I believe. Nick says, any news on further New Japan wrestlers coming over to AEW? I know Kenta tweeted about being Orlando in March. Not sure if there was anything else to that. Well, it's a few weeks after Revolution, but they're doing strong tapings in Tampa like 2 or 3 weeks later. They're doing Dallas in early April. So they've got some American dates. They're doing Chicago in mid-April. So, I mean, they got a lot of stuff going on there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they brought a lot of people over for that. Those are pretty big tapings for them. Are there any WrestleMania plans for Rhea Ripley? I haven't heard of any as of yet. I think there's a whole lot of people they don't have plans for yet, based on at least the last conversation that I've had. Knox says, hey, Sean, what do you think about New Japan Junior Heavyweight plans for the future? Sorry, my English is not very well. My friend, I appreciate the fact that you even came here in a different language and submitted a question. As far as their plans for the Junior Heavyweight title in the future, I don't know. Man, honestly, unfortunately, New Japan, outside of Strong, has lost a lot of luster for me since the start of the pandemic. There have been decisions that have been made that I'm just baffled by. And I think Desperado is great. I don't necessarily like some of his in-ring. But since Takahashi had to vacate that title, man, it's affected things a lot for me. Now, I think Robbie Eagles and Desperado are great, but you had that great run of like Kushida, Ishimori, Dragon Lee, Ospreay, Hiromu, Ishimori again. Like, there was a really, really great run there. And now it seems like they're kind of running low on junior heavyweights. And I already don't think they should have a junior heavyweight tag team title. I think it's good that WWE doesn't have a cruiserweight title anymore, because athletes are just progressively getting leaner and you don't need that as much in pro wrestling, maybe in some rare exceptions, but there's still some really talented people that are associated with that. The unfortunate thing is half of them are in America. So they've got this, well, it's not unfortunate because New Japan Strong is really good, but this unintended brand split going on right now. And I think that's negatively affected their junior heavyweight division. Paul says, has there been any word on ROH's future after Supercard of Honor? Yes. They will continue to do shows. They've started to reach out to people. I'll have a full report on that on Fightful Select very, very soon. Jeff says, if Budge, Cole, and Red Dragon take on Kenny and the Bucks, any news on who could be the fourth person helping Omega and the Bucks? I would imagine it's a Bullet Club member. I would imagine somebody like that. Will McDonough says, any thoughts on who might show up to the Control Your Narrative promotion? I'm expecting Nia Jax. I think a guy like Mojo would make a lot of sense there. A guy that didn't really get his chance and is a fantastic actor. I think he would be a really, really good person to put in there. I don't know about, I don't have any scoops on it. I'm working on doing something with EC3 about maybe like some behind the scenes type of stuff. But I think that Mojo would be a really good one. He's such a fantastic actor. Brock says, where is Sasha? She returned to the Rumble and hasn't been on SmackDown. I think she's filming something right now. Don't quote me on that, but I think she is. Laura says, do you know the date of this year's Double or Nothing pay-per-view? Nope, I don't know if they're doing it Saturday or Sunday, but it's still supposed to be Memorial Day weekend. Nonzo says, any update on whether Johnny Impact, Tony Storm, or Ember Moon could sign with Impact? Impact has cleared some budget, so to speak, and they have reached out to some top free agents. I can't specifically say which ones. I was just told by people in the company that they have reached out to numerous free agents that people are going to be interested in. Brian says, do you know of any changes on the premium live event schedule this year? I know there's a possible one with Money in the Bank because the International Fight Week, UFC pay-per-view, is planned for that Saturday. WWE does have a hold on that venue at Allegiant for Saturday and Sunday. So if they decide to, they can move it to Sunday. However, they did just fine up against Pacquiao last year. So I don't know that that's necessarily set. Zach says, any chance you could provide us an update on the health of Triple H? I asked about a month ago, and I was just told that he was progressing, but nothing, like no major update. And I've been told that he's doing all right. Doogie says, when it comes to getting backstage news or gossip, is WWE easier to attain than AEW? I feel like if the Elite worked for WWE, we'd know all the dirt between Cody and the rest of the EVPs. I disagree. I think that is a misnomer. I think that is... I'm not calling your question bullshit, but I mean, I see tweets every single day where people say, well, Sean Ross Sapp would spoil this if it were WWE. I've reported the signings or debuts of Malachi Black, Keith Lee, Switchblade Jay White, Buddy Murphy, Punk, Ruby Soho, tons of them. Cassidy reported Bryan Danielson. Like, this stuff gets out, man. It does. And I don't know. I don't know why people think that like AEW gets preferential treatment. I mean, I've had just as many angry calls regarding AEW as WWE in my career regarding coverage. So, I mean, I don't work for AEW. I don't work for WWE. I will never work for one of those companies. I will work for Fightful, and that's about it. But I don't think that we would necessarily know the dirt between Cody and the rest of the EVPs unless they talked about it. I don't know what the dirt is between Cody and the rest of the EVPs because they downplay it whenever the media talks to them. And it's maybe slightly talked about, but they've kept that pretty close to the vest from what I understand. I don't know what the crux of that necessarily was. I get backstage news on AEW all the time. I take the temperature of situations after every single Dynamite taping, after every pay-per-view. I'm able to get, you'll see a lot of like that, a lot of the backstage reaction stuff, because wrestlers know that I'm not going to hose them and burn them as a source. And that happens. I mean, we get plenty of that for AEW. So I guess I don't get it. Honestly, it's become more difficult to get it from WWE because there's a lot more of an apathetic mood there for that. Except after the Rumble. I mean, people were talking after the Rumble a lot. James said, were any audibles called in the Luchasaurus Jungle Boy Lucha Bros match after Ray's arm injury? I believe so. I think so, because he wasn't available. But I could be wrong. I'm almost positive there were, though. But man, that night is such a blur because I was getting updates all night. They thought for sure he was going to have surgery. Josh says, what do you think the chances are MLB and the Players Union can come to an agreement in a timely manner and we can get a full 162-game season or close to it? Close to it? I want to say 60%. Full 162? I'm going to say about 10%. Unfortunately. It's a bummer, man. I miss baseball already and it wasn't even supposed to start back yet. Matt says, hell of a week for you guys. Congrats on 5K. What are your prediction for the Hall of Fame class of 2022? I think Taker, Luger, I would love Demolition to go in, but I don't think they will. Probably one of the women that popped up in the Royal Rumble makes a lot of sense, but those are my picks. Wilma says, any news on Josh Woods in AEW? Would love to see him join Danielson's dojo. They've just gotten looks at him for Dark. Garrick says, FTR continue to tease and suggest on Twitter. They are at least mildly unhappy and underutilized. I tend to agree, but is this a work on their part? I doubt it, man. They want to get out there and work. I know that they pushed for themselves to appear on Dark a couple times. And they always want to work, and they always want to be at the top. And that's just their attitudes, man. That's the way those guys are. They always want to be involved. And you want those kind of guys that always want something. So I don't think it is at all. Poor Black Coffee says, any interest from AEW in signing Kylan King? I would imagine so. I don't want to speak for them. But you don't use somebody as much as you use Kylan King without signing them. Well, I mean, Diamante. I don't think they've signed her to a full-time deal as of yet. And she's, everybody pretty much thinks she is. But yeah, I would imagine Kylan eventually gets signed. If not there, somewhere else. Too Soon Official says, do you have any updates on regards to the ROH video catalog being for sale? I haven't heard that it's for sale of late. Dorian says, hey, Sean, I agree with you on champions not needing to be pinned in non-title matches. How do you feel when it happens in a tournament like the G1 for New Japan? Also want to say thanks for your integrity covering wrestling. Well, thank you. Within the G1, because it's a round robin, there are so many story ways to get around it. Like, for example, maybe Okada is the never champion or something. Just say that. And he got clocked. He got his shoulder worked over that entire match right before that. And he still somehow won. But then he faces a guy that came off of a one-minute victory who goes after his shoulder, pins him. Well, that's okay. There's story reasons. There's fatigue. There's intrigue. There's a lot of that there that I think you can work around that isn't necessarily the case in a four-minute Raw match that is just going to get run back the following week. It's a lot better. Usually, in a G1, if you create a reason for it. A Rose says, I know this is random. Do you have any insight on whatsoever on what happened with Tamina's insane vignettes? They were good and about the most interesting thing she'd ever done or been given, but they were only uploaded on her socials, then deleted. It didn't go anywhere. I don't know if WWE had her remove it, but I was told it was just dropped and, or it was, maybe it was pitched and it wasn't picked up, rather. So, I don't know, man. It seems like the kind of thing like she went on her own to do, and then just WWE said no, so there you go. But that's my hunch, and based on what I had been told. Brian says, it's been rumored that Moxley's contract expired this year. I know he was miserable there, but with the money being tossed around, what are the chances he goes back to WWE? There's always a chance. I'll never say there's not a chance, but I just don't find it likely. Tyler says, Sean read a report earlier that WWE is looking to bring in a second surprise as big as Austin for Mania. Are you expecting this to be Cody or even someone else? This is a report from Dave Meltzer. I saw someone suggest Undertaker. To me, that ain't an Austin-level surprise because, or someone as big as Austin because he wrestled a couple years ago. I have no idea who he could be mentioning. I haven't heard anything like that yet, but I will ask. Ben says, do you know of anyone else unsettled in AEW? Yes, I do. I know a few people that are unsettled in AEW. Kylie says, any update about Julia Hart and the House of Black? I would wait until that one plays out. I don't know what the plan is there, but they got somebody else to bring up soon. Brady says, any reason why Wheeler Yuta is not fully signed with AEW at this point? Well, if you're AEW, why would you? Now, I can tell you why I would, because he's a fantastic wrestler. He looks like $1 million. He's great. People like him. WWE already passed on him. I mean, WWE passing on him is what got a lot of people to tell me that things were going to change in the Performance Center. So, you know, WWE's probably not going to come along and sign him. ROH isn't signing anybody. He's working more often now than he would if he signed with Impact Wrestling. And he's probably making the same, if not more, money and featured on a more prominent stage. New Japan's not bringing anybody to Japan right now. Who else is offering contracts? Impact. So what, they got to compete with Impact? Well, I mean, AEW runs more often than Impact. So I don't think there is a giant need on AEW's part to just snatch him up when he had his tryout. And for some reason, WWE passed on him. I don't know why. It was dumb. But when a lot of these people get those tryouts with WWE and with ROH not handing out contracts anymore, it's like, well, okay, we can get them on a tiered deal. At least that's how I would approach it if I were AEW. I don't know that that's how Tony Khan or QT or anybody like that does, but from the outside looking in, it certainly feels like that would make sense. TKO Boy says, are you expecting any debuts or returns at Impact's tapings this weekend in New Orleans? Yes. I am expecting some debuts and returns. Yes. David Steele says, do you have any idea as to why AEW hypes up major announcement for the Owen Cup on TV? Not follow through at all. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I can say that there's a lot of times I plan to release a piece of news and I don't end up doing it, and I put it off because something else comes up. A little bit different than a cable TV wrestling program, though. So I wish I had the answer to that. It's a frustrating thing for me, too, as a news gatherer, to be like, all right, we're going to find out. And then we don't. Nate says, now that we know Jericho is staying with AEW, who do you think will be the next big name to leave AEW? I could see WWE making a big play for Jade Cargill and maybe trying to outbid AEW. Mikoski says, you traveling to Dallas in April? If you are, what's one thing you cannot personally wait to witness live? Here's the bummer. When I travel to these places, unless it's like the AEW show where there's a scrum, a lot of times I don't get to actually attend the shows. I'm there doing media before. It is all about getting content for me because I know that eventually I can watch that show on Fight, on pay-per-view, or something like that. So if I go to Dallas, I'm heading home before WrestleMania, so I can do the post-show here, probably. So, yeah, as far as Orlando, I'm excited to see Baker Rosa if it happens. That's what I want to see. Mikey says, do Hangman and Dark reunite against Cole, or are we possibly looking at the Elite with Hager? Hanger? Oh, there we go. Elite with Hanger against the Undisputed with Jay. I think Dark Order reunite, but I think that leads to Omega and the Bucks. Like, I don't think that the Cole Page thing will continue past Revolution. I think Omega's going to pop up and reunite with the Bucks, and we'll do Bucks versus Undisputed Era. People asking about AEW bringing in Athena, Mia Yim, Taya. I haven't heard anything on Taya. I heard they're probably not bringing in Mia Yim, and I heard there was at least some discussions with Athena. I don't know how far those got, though. Sanjay says, what's the biggest money match AEW hasn't done yet? A Four Pillars four-way is as like a sneaky one. Jade, Britt Baker down the line for the women. Punk versus Danielson is a good one. I think if you do like a six-pack challenge with Omega, Page, Cole, Punk, Moxley, Danielson, that's a big one too. Avery Dunn says, if Austin returns for one more match, who would be your dream opponent? Any promotion? Oh, buddy, that's easy. That's CM Punk. Righteous, straight-edge society CM Punk. Pedro asks about shows in the Pacific Northwest. I haven't heard of anything yet, but it's hard for me to believe they won't go to Seattle because Brian Danielson is from there. Carlos asks if there's been any reaction from AEW management to Darius Lockhart's comments on what Tony Khan said to Big Swole. Seemed like they were interested in him, but he hasn't been back since. I haven't heard a peep about that. Haven't heard a thing about it. I love Darius Lockhart's work, man. That guy is a supreme talent. Like, he is a must-watch talent. And, you know, Cardona is a great NWA champion, but before he was there, I was saying NWA should strap the rocket ship to him. I haven't seen him do, like, many dates since then. I know that he did the match against Lee Moriarty and Pretty Boy Smooth in late January, but I don't think I've seen him work many indie dates. I mean, I didn't see him work a ton of them before that even, but maybe I'm just missing them. Tom says, how did AEW investigate the sexual assault allegations against Jay Lethal? Well, they're sexual harassment allegations, not assault allegations. I hadn't heard of anything about it. I haven't heard of them investigating it at all. That was something that ROH claimed to do. Outside of that, unless it was discussed between Tony Khan and Jay Lethal, I haven't heard much about it, or I haven't heard anything about it. Jack asks about the Control Your Narrative taping scheduled for the same night, time, and place as MLW's TV taping. Is this going to be a part of MLW? They have different seating charts, so I think they're in different parts of the venue. Marky Mark says, any news on Impact taping locations after Rebellion? I haven't posted this yet, but how about this? I'll do it in the morning. Yes, they're heading to Cincinnati, specifically the Kentucky side of Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, in May. I know that one for sure, so I'm pretty happy about that. Matthew says, where's Edge been? Scheduled time off. Robert says, which is the most likely to join AEW, Tony, Ember, Tegan, or Taya? I think Tony or Tegan, probably. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Ember pop up there. Joseph says, what's the current situation with possible New Japan AEW cross-promotion shows in the U.S.? I remember hearing about a multiple wrestling company show that was announced a while back, but I haven't heard much about it since. Shit, I think that show was Impact Bound for Glory, and boy, did it underdeliver in that sense. I think AEW would probably want to wait until they can get guys like Okada and Tanahashi, if I were them. Mark says, a psychiatrist on the Golden Girls forced Stan to carry around a fake monkey doll to get over Dorothy. Can you confirm this is the medical foundation of Alexa Bliss's treatment plan? Yes, I can. We got a lot of questions about control your narrative, and I mean, a lot of people are rooting for them to fail, but my God, man, we got more control your narrative questions than we have a lot of other companies. So that's interesting to see. I'll have some coverage on that soon since you guys are asking about it a lot. Numlock says, does Fightful have a Discord server, or are there plans for one? That'd be cool. I'll consider it. I don't know shit about Discord, to be honest with you. I don't know a goddamn thing about it. So I'll do my due diligence and I'll ask. Ben says, this may seem out there, but what are the odds Mustafa Ali pulls a Robbie McAllister and shows up ringside at AEW? I don't think he'll be doing that. I think he is, I think he's too professional for that, to be honest with you. I don't think that he would do that. He wants to do things about the right way. I think that asking publicly is a fair thing to do. Are there any plans to run bigger arenas for AEW pay-per-views? Yes, from what I heard. Maybe even Double or Nothing. I haven't heard of any announcement for it yet. It would not shock me if they announced T-Mobile Arena for Double or Nothing, and they should. Now, most of our Q&As don't usually even go this long. They're like 30-something minutes. But man, we had a lot of questions tonight, a great deal of subscribers, and I wanted to make sure I got to every question that I had an answer to, but now is the main event for you guys. You guys have been more interested in Cody stuff than Stone Cold Steve Austin returning to the ring. What does it say that I got dozens and dozens, if not 100 Cody questions? I got one question about Stone Cold Steve Austin returning to the ring. Holy shit. Well, let's get to it, buddy. Dan says, do you think that Brandy and Cody's departure has anything to do with the Big Swole situation based on their chemistry in the Shot of Brandy episode with Swole? Seems they were friends. Nope, I have not heard Big Swole's name mentioned whatsoever in this. Manuel says, could Tony maybe not wanting Brandy make the negotiations with Cody that hard to keep him in AEW? I had not heard anything like that. Brandy was constantly complimented for her brand work. I mean, listen, I'll give you two experiences that I saw firsthand. My friend Jesse the Buckeye was sent flowers to the hospital when she was fighting for her life. Brandy also sent her a very nice diaper bag for when she returned home from the hospital. Brandy largely orchestrated my hair donation to Wigs for Kids and doing that with Nightmare Collective. She was integral in the Culture City stuff. I believe the American Heart Association stuff as well. She did some good stuff as CBO. She really did. Pavin says, is there any validity to the Wade Keller report that Cody wanted CM Punk or more level money? There's validity to the fact that that's the rumor. I haven't talked to Tony Khan about it, and I haven't talked to Cody directly about it. So I feel like those are the two people that specifically know that. But I can say that I have heard from other people that that's what Cody wanted. Jorge says, who is Chicken that Cody keeps referring to in his statements? That is his brother Dustin. That's Dustin Rhodes. Ole Goldust. I had to ask that myself today. Brandon says, is it likely Cody goes to where he wants to go within the next week? I can't give you an honest answer to that. I can tell you that WWE and Cody and that group is playing very coy right now, operating as if there's not a deal done based on the people that I talk to. Brandon says, do you think Cody's relationship with AEW is completely gone if he joins WWE? No, I think that Tony Khan is a very smart businessman, and he knows the power of a really good big return. Ari says, how much of the Elite and Cody hate each other talk is actually true? I just haven't heard of them like being necessarily chummy with each other all around. Cody hasn't been on BTE. He's made jokes about being edited out of it. He has downplayed that an awful lot, though. So it doesn't seem like he wants there to be hate there. Sean says, do you know if the negative crowd reactions to Cody since the Ogogo feud were part of his reason for leaving AEW? I don't believe so. I heard nothing of that sort. That's not something that I've heard yet. I want to preface any future answer with this. As of now, I've not heard from Cody why he left. I've not heard from Tony Khan why he left or why he wasn't renewed specifically. I know what talent is saying. I know what staff is saying. I know what people in both locker rooms are saying, or at least the things that have been relayed to me. As far as why he left, that would be speculation on my part, and I can speak to what I've heard and what I haven't heard, and I haven't heard anything mentioning regarding Ogogo at all. Ben Williams says, SRS, firstly, my dad passed away from cancer this morning, but always grateful for you and Fightful for giving me something positive to focus on regardless of what is happening. Ben, buddy, I am so sorry to hear that. The whole Fightful family, our viewers, our readers, we want to send you that love. And you say that your question is from your wife, Carrie. Carrie's wonderful. But man, we are sending you guys love. I hate to hear that. Our thoughts are with you guys. And I know Carrie is a wonderful person. She asks, why do you think AEW put Brandi in a potential heel versus heel feud with Van Zant as someone else could have carried her better, like Thunder Rosa, for example, or got an upcoming technical face that gets rubbed from a high-profile match like Ty Conti, for example? I think, in my opinion, that they probably wanted Brandi on the TMZs and a lot of the coverage that was going to happen out of it. That's my opinion. I think that they wanted their CBO on that. Rose says, is there a chance Cody goes on an indie run to build or rehabilitate his work character, or is it WWE in the near future? I would expect WWE in the near future. I don't know. Maybe GCW. I think him doing GCW would be a very smart Cody thing to do. Celeste says, if Cody signs with WWE, do you think they will immediately announce it on social media, or they wait and have it be a surprise return on TV? If I were them, I would announce it as a surprise. I would say, we got a big surprise coming. What WWE tends to do in situations like that, they'll kind of just get the word out there of who it is. Like, they'll tell some people that they probably know have loose lips or something. And it's like, oh shit, Goldberg's coming back. I think they should go the Tony method and be like, we got a big surprise, guys. I think that'd be cool. Because we don't see that a lot out of WWE, where you tell people there's a surprise and then the people are anticipating a surprise. That worked out really well with CM Punk. Even though they didn't outright tell anybody, it was the media and the insinuations. A lot of people asking, is Cody Rhodes going to WWE this weekend? Is it true that Brandy's not going there? I can't verify almost anything in that report. All due respect to Sports Illustrated, I just can't personally confirm anything that's in that report that is information that I haven't disclosed on Fightful Select. Just isn't something I've heard yet. Michael says, do you think if Cody debuts in WWE, they'll have him debut either on the SmackDown before Revolution or on the Raw right after to take the wind out of WWE's sails? AEW did that with Punk the night before SummerSlam. They did that with Punk because that's when they could book Chicago. It didn't have anything to do with SummerSlam. And yeah, I think they'd set up WrestleMania as soon as possible with that. I don't think they would do it before Revolution. I don't think that they would. I mean, I don't think they're above doing that. Like, I think they're absolutely competitive enough to do something like that. I just don't think that Revolution will be the part of what that makes them decide when to debut him, if that makes sense. Mike B says, I don't see the Elite doing send them home happy bits at the end of the show anymore. It always appears to be Tony. Heard the rumors they've been de-emphasized backstage. Now Cody is gone. Is AEW moving away from the Elite as founders and co-creators with Tony narrative? Feels like the focus is on Tony's contributions now. Is that a more accurate telling of the story? I mean, it is pretty much Tony running the show. I mean, there's a ton of creative input from other people. Like, I still hear that they've got a lot of creative freedom and creative input and a lot of stuff like that. But Tony himself said to me last year that around the turn into 2020, he made a New Year's resolution to himself to not just be the final say, but be the loudest voice as it comes to booking. And he was pretty happy with how the quality of the show went there. So those guys are still involved a lot backstage. Like, it's not like they have been completely de-emphasized. That's just not true. They still do have additional roles and do contribute greatly to the program. As far as Cody, he did some of that stuff too. I don't know to what degree, but I, you know what? Maybe that's something that'll get asked at the Revolution Scrum. That's pretty interesting. Victor says, do you think Cody went back to assure any of his father's trademarks? And for him, I'd love for him to be introduced as the American Dream. I don't know if that's a WWE trademark. I mean, Cody tried to get that trademarked himself in the past couple of years, and it just didn't happen. However, if I'm Cody, I do negotiate some of those trademarks that WWE owned that he wants into the deal, if at all possible. Somebody asked percentage-wise, if he goes to WWE, what are the odds he acquires them? I'd say 75%. Cody is very smart about that type of stuff. Raphael says, Cody mentioned politics before, and Raphael Warnock's seat is up this year. Does he stay out of wrestling to make a Senate run? I would be shocked if he wanted to waste that much money. That sounds like a fantastic way to lose a shit ton of money. He's got to look at the lay of the land, man. Like, Senate? Good luck, man. Linda couldn't get the Senate with years of money that she and Vince made. I think it's a bad idea. Alex says, is WWE looking to add more established talent, or was Cody a one-off special circumstance? More nostalgic people within their own universe, so to speak, but I'm sure they're going to be interested in bringing over AEW talent when they become available, because WWE isn't that great at making stars, quite frankly. I wish they were. I hope they become, but I think they're happy to let somebody else make them and then just snatch them up, pay for them. They did very good with that many, many times. The 80s. WCW closing. They did it with TNA. I don't doubt that they would do it with AEW as well. They should. Maximize your roster and pay for the people who are worth it. Rinaldi says, I saw this speculated elsewhere and wonder your opinion on it. A lot of people were saying the deal breaker was Cody losing his power backstage. For better or for worse on that, no matter how you like his booking, he did have the factory, had a hand in training a lot of people. My question is, what if a big point in Cody going back to WWE was to help run NXT, follow in his father's footsteps that way, especially since Triple H and his crew are gone? Boy, the discourse surrounding that would be fucking miserable, bro. The throne memes and all that stuff. I mean, Jesus Christ, I would feel terrible for Triple H if that were the case. If Vince McMahon looked at it and said, my son-in-law couldn't get it done, let me bring in this Cody guy to run NXT. I don't think that's it. Now, granted, they can't look at NXT 2.0 and the viewership decline and say, that's it. That's what we're rocking with. I know there are, it's got a very good niche cult audience, NXT 2.0 does, and there's some people that like it, but also, you stripped away so much of, like, Cody would have wanted to keep Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano and all these people. He would have wanted to keep those guys. I feel pretty confident in saying that. I just don't think that's it. Turnheel says, as Triple H's departure from management made Cody Rhodes look favorably on his return to the company? I can't speak to that. I would imagine that Triple H and Cody Rhodes like to imagine that they are cut from the same cloth. I think they have an incredible amount of mutual respect for one another. I know Cody Rhodes has a great amount of respect for Triple H because he said as much. So I don't think so. Mark says, Sean, this was very early in AEW, but when MJF beat Cody so he could never challenge for the world title, could that have been short-sighted at the time so Cody could have never gotten to the top in terms of creative inside the ring? I think it was an interesting story that nobody expected to go through, and it ended up being good for some things, like the TNT title, because eventually You had Cody win that title as the first guy, and he's perceived as a main eventer. He's perceived as a world title level talent that just couldn't win that title. However, when you have him doing the Anthony Ogogo thing and the factory thing, oh boy, that was bad. And that shit stretched out over 4 or 5 months until Malakai Black put us out of our misery. Oof. And the stuff since then, I think, has been really, really fun. But that Codyverse stuff for about 5 months, man, it was bad. The matches weren't good. Nobody cared about it. It was a bummer, man. It just wasn't that. I understand he was, I think his heart was in the right place, but it just wasn't entertaining. Joe said, hey, Sean, does the amount of money in AEW that Cody and Brandy were being paid add up to anything significant in terms of signing new AEW talent? Yes, it does. That does open things up a little bit, especially the amount that was sought out. Challenge Mania says, in your personal opinion, what sort of agreement do you see Cody coming to with WWE over creative control? Will it be closer to someone like Lesnar or Reigns who has final say? Or do you think they'll see him being relegated back to heavily scripted TV performer? So the word is, like, nobody gets creative control. However, if Brock Lesnar doesn't want to do something, he's not going to do it. I don't know if Cody will be that level. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to react to that. I would imagine he's going to have some sort of protection associated based on his last run and how things ended and the history with his father and the fucking polka dots and what we've seen with a lot of people, WCW talent and ECW talent and some TNA talent that were brought in and just abused from a booking standpoint. I would imagine some sort of input would have to be involved there. Luke says, regarding Cody, have you heard creative frustrations with his character specifically? Direction of AEW in general being a part of his reason for leaving? I have not heard that, no. I've not heard that at all. I know there were some people that were frustrated, again, with the Codyverse stuff last year because it took up quite a bit of time. But, I mean, not so much that anybody was ready to watch the world burn and have him leave over it. Matt says, do you know what the relationship is like between Tony and the Bucks and or Kenny? I've always heard that the relationship between Tony and the Bucks is good, and I'm pretty sure the one with Tony and Kenny is pretty solid as well. Raymond says, if Cody does land in WWE, how drastically does it affect the landscape when other AEW deals are about to expire? I imagine there are guys and girls in AEW that are Cody's guys that may be interested in following him. I'm sure there are. But I think that was about to change anyway. We're just seeing, like, the first set of deals expire. Because AEW's only existed for a little over 3 years. They haven't even had 3 years of shows. They haven't had 3 years of TV. So we're going to see a lot of deals coming up probably in the spring, probably in the fall, and peppered in throughout the calendar next year as well. And WWE's going to pick up some of those people, or they're going to make plays for some of those people, because why wouldn't they? It's a globally exposed set of talent in a competitive landscape. So they probably should. It's just now we're finally seeing some of those come up. DJ asks, what went wrong with Cody's business relationship with AEW? And will that have an effect on future stars looking to sign with AEW? I mean, this does cause a hit to perception for some, I'm sure. It's gotta. To me, I look at it as business, and this is the same stuff as WWE and WCW, and it's healthy. It's good. It's good for talent. Talent's going to get paid a lot more. I think AEW is going to pay their talent a lot more when the new TV deal eventually hits, because they should see a heavy increase, and that changes the landscape, and that affects the budget. But if this were 2 years from now, or a year and a half from now, I think this conversation probably would have been a lot different. But that's just me speaking. Josh says, how likely at this point will Cody sign with WWE, and any possibility he may have, but it be secret? Yeah, there's always a possibility that anything is a possibility in pro wrestling. I'll never write off anything. Anything is possible. I think there's a pretty good chance. I think it's about 60-40 right now. Because I still think in my heart of hearts, there's a possibility maybe he pops back up in AEW. That's not me hinting or doing anything cryptic. I just think it's still a possibility. Jim said, how much did Brandy factor into Cody leaving AEW? Haven't heard of any particular hang-up involving Brandy. Sheila says, in regards to the whole booking power thing with Tony and Cody, you think Tony will reconsider delegating some of his booking responsibilities to a small committee to assist him with creative? Their roster's growing so quickly, I feel he shouldn't continue to be the sole person to manage it all. I can tell you that as somebody who was in complete control of Fightful for years, it is very hard to delegate something that you have personally put time, effort, heart into. And I found people that I trusted. I found people that were very good at it. Tony will too eventually. AEW is going to keep growing. I've said it before. I think Matt Hardy should be his Pat Patterson, his Finnish guy. He's like one of his off-the-wall creative guys. Like I think he's experienced as a booker. He's done everything. Singles, tag, stables, heel, babyface, cruiserweight, heavyweight, comedy, serious, cinematic, in-ring, romance. He's done everything. I think eventually Tony will do some of that, but it will have to be somebody that provides great ideas, but isn't so far off of his booking page. But maybe Tony will want to do the exact opposite and say, hey, give me somebody that doesn't do anything like me. Crooked Alligator said, you speculated about possible big matches for Cody and WWE challenging Roman. Is this just speculation, or have sources indicated to you these types of scenarios are being considered? I mean, no, I've not heard anything. It is all very much, if it happens, from everybody I talk to in WWE. Nobody will be like, yeah, it's happening. Everybody I reached out to had something to say about it in WWE. I didn't get left on read one time about this because I think that there are plenty of people there that are wanting to know what they can find out as well. But it was unanimously positive among WWE talent. I mean unanimously, the ones that I talked to. Again, when any of us reporters say backstage reactions, et cetera, it is a series of sources, a collective, an aggregate of who we talk to. It doesn't reflect the entire locker room. But I reached out to like 10 people on the roster that probably ain't going anywhere. And they were all very excited about the possibility. But every single one of them were like, if it happens. Nobody said it's happening. Eloquent asks if Cody would be able to get an early out clause, like 6 months or something. Would Vince entertain that? If the Young Bucks are to be believed, then yes, because they were offered escape clauses. Actually, that might have been Observer that reported that. I can't remember if Young Bucks talked about it. I talked to them about their WWE offers, and they told me that they got offered like 4 or 5 different things. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I know that Vince McMahon specifically was against no-cut clauses, though. Chris says, if WWE brings in Cody, what are the chances they pair him with AJ and Finn and do a Bullet Club angle? Slim to none. I think they finished that up with the AJ and the club thing, Gallows and Anderson. Bree says, if you had to guess, what would be the percentage of Cody and AEW coming to an agreement and re-signing? I would say still maybe 30-40% possibility. Sure, why not? Dev says, realistically, where do you see Cody Rhodes fitting in the WWE landscape? He should be a main eventer. He should be a top guy, a main eventer, perpetual main eventer. Realistically, upper mid card, I think. If he falls below that, I would imagine he might hit the bricks. Marty says, do you see Cody being in one of the main event matches at WrestleMania? No, I think it's going to be Brock and Roman and Charlotte Ronda. I can't remember if I answered this because I've been filming this for a couple hours, but Trevor says, will Rollins go polka dots or Stardust themed gear for his first feud with Cody? I think he'd look good in gold, man, but he'll probably do polka dots too. He loves that stuff, man. Leon says, is it true that Cody is filming stuff at the Performance Center this weekend? I haven't heard anything like that as of yet. I mean, I've heard the report, but I haven't heard that. Guys, 1 hour and 5 minutes here. Hot diggity dog. Over 20 of it, just Cody. I said this at the top of the show. Thank you all so much. Fightful Select has been a runaway success. It's changed my life. It's changed the life of our staff. I know there are other things you could spend money on for than wrestling news, but God damn, man, I appreciate you all so much for doing it. We will always work to keep giving you more and more and more for that $5. I never want somebody to subscribe and think that they're not getting their money's worth. So thank you all. In the future, most Q&A shows will not be this long, but God almighty, this was a fun one. This has been a fun week. It's been an exhausting week, and I love it so much, man. I love talking wrestling with all you people. Thank you. We're out.